MZTV.
So I trust everyone got the message yesterday that sometime in your life you will produce an illegitimate son. You will produce an Ishmael. You do the best that you can in life. You commit your way unto God, but you tell God at the same time, if this is wrong, I'm acting upon, this is what you tell God, I'm acting upon my conscience, what I know about scripture, I'm reacting to my circumstances, I think I'm doing the right thing. Even so, this may not be a right thing, but I'm giving my work to you, I'm giving this act to you, and if this is an Ishmael, that is, if this is a son of the flesh, then I'm just going to produce it and give you an opportunity to bring an Isaac in its wake. That's how that works. You have to be willing to make a mistake. Otherwise, you're just walking through life on eggshells and not truly living. Of course, we don't do anything wrong on purpose. Nobody really does that. I mean, we do the best that we can and trust that God will make something of it if it is a thing that is less than ideal. So I thank you again for all the comments you made on last Friday's show. Many Isaacs were produced in the wake of my Ishmael. And so that show stands not as a show I'm proud of necessarily. No, I'm not proud of it. It was a ridiculous, sad show, but the alternative was not doing anything. And I think it's better to do something that seems like the right thing to do at the time and then be able to look back at it and build on it and see what God makes of the mess. See what God brings out of the mud beneath the scaffold of the four Lincoln conspirators. And now today I'm going to have to talk about a topic that I've talked about hundreds of times, but there is a very intelligent member of the body of Christ who still doesn't understand this. And so because of that, I'm thinking, man, there must be other people who still don't get this. If this guy doesn't get it, and I'm going to tell you who the guy is, if this guy doesn't get it, then there have to be other people who don't understand. And it's so important that I, with all the patience I can muster, am going to explain it again. And we can all stand to hear it again. There was a Facebook post by my dear brother, Tony Nungesser. Everybody knows Tony. He works for the Concordant Publishing Concern. The last time I saw him, he was clean shaven, but now he has this patriarchal beard, very impressive. It's Isaiah length. It's not quite Zechariah length. He's got a little ways to go to get a Zechariah style beard, but Isaiah's pretty good. Pretty good. Tony commented on Facebook on a video I made, MZTV 1688, called How Do We Know Who Is a Believer? And he makes a common mistake that A. Enoch made, that James Corum made. In fact, James Corum and I had a lengthy back and forth on this back in 2000. Back in 2000, I gave a talk at the Willard, Ohio conference called What is a Believer? And I've written a lengthy article, What is a Believer?, that you can get if you sign up to my website. Go to my homepage, martincenter.com. Scroll down at the right, you'll see a sign up. And if you sign up, you will receive free of charge my report, What is a Believer?, which is soon to be a book. It's in the lineup. So this is what Tony says. I love MZ as a brother. We have years of friendship together, and that is so true. I've known Tony since 1994. I met him in the spring of 94 at a conference in Ohio. It was only the second conference I'd ever been to. He said, I recorded part of his recent YouTube video, How Do We Know Who Is a Believer? So according to MZ, if you tell them, that is, people, about God's sovereignty, the Trinity, free will, God saving all, and they resist it, they can't be a believer. Tony then says, did you notice in Paul's epistles that none of these theological ideas do not a believer or unbeliever make? In other words, Paul doesn't mention the Trinity. Paul doesn't mention free will. What does Paul mention? The death of Christ for our sins. But let us continue. Tony says, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, or Romans chapter 4, when dealing with who is saved or who God reckons righteous, Paul did not say, quote, you must believe in God's sovereignty, not free will, to be saved. Or you must not believe in the Trinity. You must believe God will save all. Tony says, I'm glad. No, I am super happy that God did not require a theological test for old Abe to make sure God could reckon him righteous. Well, in fact, there was a test. And as it was for Abraham, so it is for us, per Romans 4, verses 23 and 24, that God does not require a theological test we must pass first prior to him reckoning us righteous. But then the very next paragraph, Tony contradicts himself by saying the buck stops at the evangel, that if you believe God, see, it's an if. The buck stops at the evangel. If you believe God, that Christ died for our sins, that he was entombed and God roused him from the dead, you are justified. So right after saying God does not require a theological test, he says, well, you're a believer if you believe that Christ died for our sins, that he was entombed and God roused him from the dead. If you believe this, you are justified, you are righteous, you are saved. You are sealed with the Spirit of promise for the day of deliverance. If you believe the evangel, it's kind of a test, isn't it, Tony? A reverse test. I'm going to explain that. If you believe the evangel, it is proof of your salvation. And that's true. I agree with Tony 100%. And then he plays a snippet from my video. And he finishes with this. Let it be known that I severely love. Yes, that's a malapropism. Dear Brother Martin, he is my dear brother in Christ. And of course, I share that sentiment. And this is about teaching. And any teaching I criticize or any comment I criticize, I do it strictly because of the teaching, to help us grow, to know more about God and Christ, to know what constitutes the evangel and what does not constitute the evangel. And it shocks me. It shocks me that Tony doesn't see this. But maybe if I explain it for the 178th time, with all patience and teaching, he will see it. A Enoch before him did not see it. James Coram did not see it. But it's so plain, so evident, that once I explain it on this, the 179th attempt, I pray that you will see it if you haven't seen it already. So technically, it's not a test, is it? God doesn't wait to see what we're going to believe, to see if we're going to believe the elements of the evangel in order for us to be saved. We know it's the other way around. God designates believers beforehand, before the disruption of the world. We are designated beforehand. And we know from Romans 10, those he designates beforehand, these he calls. How does he call people? By causing them to believe the evangel. And even Tony says, and James Coram before him, and A. Enoch before him, yes, you have to believe the evangel. And again, it's not that believing the evangel makes you saved. It's that if you have been designated beforehand for salvation, you will believe the evangel. And the evangel, as much as these gentlemen want to call it, want to say there's no requirements whatsoever, they can't, in all good conscience say that. Because there are things to be believed. The first one is the death of Christ. Tony is correct. Nowhere does Paul say you have to unhand the Trinity. You must be disabused of human free will. And apparently, Mr. Nungesser is of the disposition that if someone says they believe that Christ died, then that's what they believe. Or if they say they believe that God is in control, that they actually believe that. The fact is, and you know this from experience, that they don't believe anything that they are professing because you ask them one or two probing questions and you find out the truth. They don't believe God's in control. Speaking of Christians, no, they believe that they have free will. This is their hardcore belief. So as much as they might say, we believe God is in control of everything, they don't believe. Okay, this is self-evident. Now, going back to the Trinity. Paul did not say, quoting Tony again, God did not say, you must believe in God's sovereignty, not free will, to be saved. Or, you must not believe in the Trinity. Now, the Trinity as an official doctrine did not exist in Paul's day, but those who believe in the Trinity or in modalism say that Jesus Christ is God. In the case of the Trinity, Jesus Christ is an essential part of God without whom there is no God. Or in the case of modalism, that Jesus, there's one being, Jesus Christ, and he is God. These same people, when you ask them, can God die? They will say, no, God can't die, which is true. Of course God cannot die. God is life. God cannot die. But if someone actually believes, which they do, that Jesus Christ is God, then they cannot at the same time believe that Jesus Christ died. But wait a minute, isn't the death of Christ an essential element of Paul's gospel? Even Tony says that. Of course it is. It's part of the evangel. Christ died for our sins. But it is impossible for someone who believes in the Trinity. It's impossible. Let me say it this way. Since the Trinity as an official teaching did not exist in Paul's day, if someone in Paul's day believed that Jesus was God absolute and also admit that God cannot die, there is no way that person can believe that Jesus Christ died. This is not difficult. It's impossible. And so Tony, like James Corum and A. Enoch before him, assumes that it's easy to believe. You just have to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Is that so hard? Well, Satan has made it damn near impossible by the employment of what Paul calls in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3, doctrines of demons. As far as I know, I'm the only person in modern history who has asked himself Satan's motives in developing these diabolical doctrines that infect the human race and that are spread like gangrene through the human race via the institution of Christianity. What's his motive? His motive is to disqualify as many human beings as possible from truly believing in the death of Christ. I'm going to get to free will in a moment here, but it's the same principle. Wants to disqualify as many people as possible from becoming members of the body of Christ. Why? Because we're destined to rule over him. We are going to displace his rulership. And so he very, very cleverly developed doctrines that keep people. I call them tripwires. And Tony's heard me teaching this for years. But I guess it hasn't sunk in. You can't blame the beard because I was teaching this back in 2000. Tony didn't have a beard then. the Trinity, which trips up billions of people, denies the death of Christ. I would ask Tony, if he were sitting with me, I would say, when the Pharisees said, we're children of Abraham, do you believe them? Did Jesus believe them? It doesn't matter how much you profess or how loudly you profess that you're this or you're that. You get to the heart of the matter and you find out. And our Lord said, no, you're not children of Abraham. You're children of Satan. Satan is your father, not Abraham. It's the same with these people who say, we believe that Jesus Christ died. No, they do not. And so a belief in the Trinity is incompatible, completely incompatible with a belief in the death of Christ. So Paul doesn't have to say, you can't believe in the Trinity. Paul doesn't have to say, you can't believe that Jesus is God. All he needs to say is, you must believe that Jesus Christ died. And anyone who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ died is not in the body of Christ. You see how easy this is? You see why it could possibly try my patience that someone as smart as Tony Nungester doesn't yet understand this? And the way A.E. Nock was so generous with people, he was so generous with giving people the benefit of the doubt that he later apologized for it. He said, I gave people too much credit. I'm paraphrasing him, but that's what the man said later in his life. A. Enoch believed that anyone who professed Christ, they're in the body of Christ. So do we actually believe? I don't know how many Christians there are in the world. A couple hundred million. I don't know. I'm just giving a round number there. Do we believe there are 200 million members of the body of Christ? Are these Christians members of the body of Christ? Well, let's put it to the, I'm going to use the word, let's put it to the test. The simplest test. Do they believe that Jesus Christ died? They say they do. Now ask them if they believe in the Trinity. And if they do, then they don't believe Jesus Christ died. So you see, the gospel is not as simple as it appears on its face. I mean, it is simple, but Satan has complicated it by putting these false doctrines in front of every essential element of Paul's gospel. Now we get to free will. Tony says, Paul did not say you must not believe in free will to be saved. But I'm sorry, it is obvious that someone who believes that they are the linchpin, they are the thing, they are the power that gets them saved by their decision in Jesus Christ, that person cannot at the same time believe that Jesus Christ saved them. It is impossible. If I had Mr. Nungester here, I would say, Mr. Nungester, if someone pointed to a rock and said, I believe that that rock saved me, would you say they're in the body of Christ? No, no, of course not, of course not. No, no, they're not in the body of Christ. Well, what does it matter? Why not? Well, they didn't pass the test. Well, okay, you said there is no test. But okay, now you're saying, well, there is kind of a test. And it's the essentials of the gospel. Why would someone who believes that a rock is their savior not be in the body of Christ? And Tony would say, well, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the one who died for your sins. He saved you from your sins. Just so. Exactly right. What is the difference between a rock, between believing in a rock for your salvation and believing in yourself for salvation? None. The psalmist says, one of my favorite verses now, I still don't have the verse reference memorized, but salvation from a human is futile. What does a human have in common with a rock? Salvation from both is futile. Salvation from a rock is futile. Salvation from a human is just as futile, just as futile. And yet, Those who say they believe Jesus Christ saved them do not believe it because they have tripped on the most ingenious tripwire invented by our adversary, which Mr. Nungesser is counting as nothing, which Satan loves it. Satan loves it when people like Tony don't think that believing in free will is a big deal. That's not a big deal. You can believe in free will and be in the body. You can believe in free will. In other words, you can believe that you save yourself by believing in Jesus, and you can believe that Jesus saved you by his faith. It's no big deal. Satan loves that because you, sir, have just tripped yourself on the tripwire by not seeing how serious and how deadly this teaching is, in that it disqualifies billions of people from membership in the body of Christ. And it discounts the faith of Christ. And it gives salvation to the faith of a human or to the faith of a rock. Same difference. Same thing. A rock, a human. Salvation from a human is futile. Salvation from a rock is futile. But they say they believe. I don't care what they say. Test it. Test them. Test their faith to see if it's true. And you know, Tony, that it's not true. You fought these people for years. You should know better than to think that somebody who believes in himself for salvation can believe in the same time in Christ for their salvation. Can't do it. Logically impossible. Otherwise, every person with a metal fish applique on their car are members in the body of Christ. Every single member of the Christian religion who hate everything we teach, hate the truth of the sovereignty of God, hate the truth of the death of Christ, hate the truth of the salvation of all. You're telling me they're in the body of Christ? That's what you're saying by discounting Satan's masterpieces of diabolical distraction and diversion. You're making a big mistake. A big mistake. You're making the same mistake Jim Quorum and A. E. Nock make. A. E. Nock, the compiler of the Concordant Version, even went so far as to suggest that someone who didn't believe there was resurrection at all would still be in the body of Christ. He was referencing, first, I write about this in What is a Believer. Sign up at my website and read this. You won't believe what Mr. Nock said. When Paul says, how is it, in 1 Corinthians 15, how is it that some of you are saying there's no resurrection from the dead? If there's no resurrection, then not even Christ has been roused. And you think that if someone would have said, Paul, no, I still believe. I know what you're saying, Paul, but I still believe that there's no resurrection from the dead. Then Paul would say, okay, but you understand that if you believe there's no resurrection, then neither has Christ been roused. And this hypothetical Corinthian would say, that's right, Paul. I believe Jesus Christ is still dead. Jesus Christ never raised from the dead. Would you, Tony, say that that person is in the body of Christ? A. Enoch did. Not understanding that the Corinthians weren't thinking through their belief. These Corinthians didn't really believe what they said they believed because it wasn't held up to their noses until Paul held it up to their noses and told them to sniff it. Smell this. There's no resurrection from the dead. Put your nose up here. Smell it. If that's true, then not even Christ has been roused. At which point, the Corinthians would have said, oh, sorry. Well, God, of course we believe that Jesus Christ has been roused. And Paul would have said, then quit saying there's no resurrection. But A. Enoch made the mistake of saying, see, even people who don't believe in the resurrection are still in the body of Christ because salvation has nothing to do with teaching. It has to do with how you act, how you behave. That's what Mr. Nock taught, and it was destructive. And anyone who read his book, The True Basis of Fellowship, very damaging book, The True Basis of Fellowship. Everyone who has read that book has been infected by this idea that doctrine doesn't matter. Oh, they believe in free will. It's no big deal. Martin, cut him some slack. Oh, they believe in the Trinity. It's no big deal. Cut him some slack. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a big deal when you say it that way. But when you say it this way, no, they don't believe that Jesus Christ actually died. No. But they still believe that Jesus Christ died. What? What? No, Martin, I know they believe that they saved themselves. They don't believe Jesus Christ actually saved them, but they saved themselves. But they still believe that Christ died for their sins. Huh? Please, no. You're giving Satan the victory by discounting, by counting as nothing, his most diabolical, damaging teachings. This must stop. I already thought it had stopped. With many people, it has stopped, thank God. People see the truth of this. And one of the dangers with this is that if you run into a person who believes they saved themselves and believe that Jesus Christ didn't die, you don't feel the need to bring them the evangel because you think that these things are consistent with the evangel. Well, it doesn't matter if I correct them on human free will. It doesn't matter if I correct them on the Trinity. They're saved anyway because whether you believe in either one of these things doesn't make any difference. You can believe Jesus Christ died and didn't die. It's all the same. It's all the same. Truth is the same as error? No, my friend. What fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? Does truth have with error? Does Christ have with Belial? Does light have with darkness? What fellowship? You are making fellowship between human determination and Christ determination, between human faith and Christ's faith. You're making these bedfellows, and that is a mistake. And you're watering down your message, and you're not able to help people who have fallen into the trap of human free will, who have fallen into the trap of the Trinity. You're not able to help them because why help them? They're believers anyway. They say they believe that Jesus Christ died. They say they believe he died for their sins, and yet no, they don't. They believe that they take care of their own sins. They deal with their sins by their personal belief in Jesus Christ. Wake up and smell the truth of this, please. And I exhort not only Tony, who I love dearly as a brother, but to anyone else who has somehow missed this teaching over the years, missed this truth, let us not play into Satan's hands by counting these doctrines of demons as nothing. Let us please become more active as evangelists, exposing, rebuking, and entreating, because hundreds of millions of people do not believe the evangel because of their religion, because of Christianity, because of Satan. And again, if we discount this, then we're going to be of no help to them whatsoever.